This is the second reading of the third Sunday of Lent. And this is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. And St. Paul starts off with telling us, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. It's interesting, isn't it, that he says, we proclaim Christ crucified. Most people are out there looking for signs today, and it says in his word there's not going to be any sign but the sign of Jonah. People are still looking for signs of Christ, but for purpose in life. And the only sign we need is Jesus Christ. So it shows Jews are looking for signs and Greeks are looking for wisdom. Wisdom is found in Christ. So today we know where we have to look, and it's to Jesus Christ. And proclaim, and what we're called to do is to, first of all, do what it says in there, crucify ourselves, be one with Christ, die to self, and live for Christ. And then we go out and proclaim Christ crucified.
That's a real key figure when you make that statement, Jesus Christ crucified. Paul did not know Jesus of Nazareth. Paul knew the Jesus of crucified. He spoke to him as in the presence. Paul never spoke about it as being something that happened as history. He spoke about him always as being present. He even says, when I come to preach only Jesus the crucified Christ. Because he tells us this, and we see that in the power of all of Christianity is the death that was won for us by Jesus Christ as he moved to his full glory in the resurrection. And so this whole message is really coming at us because you have to take into consideration what we just read in the first reading about the Ten Commandments, how this is a law for the living to protect us, to help us learn how to live. And we hear those commandments of thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's goods. These are really important, powerful concepts. And yet this is not the way of salvation. This is a blueprint in how to live with each other. And Paul is coming and telling us what the salvation is. The salvation is Jesus Christ. And the center of our relationship, the center of our entire being, has to be the relationship that each one of us has with Jesus. And Paul tells us, too, that the people in Corinth, where he was preaching, thought the good news was foolishness. Because they had been taught that the Messiah would be a conquering hero. And the death of Jesus didn't look much to them like a conquering hero. In fact, he died as a common criminal. So it was pretty hard for them to grasp the fact that this is the Messiah of the world. And the Greeks, they looked at it and they thought the gospel itself was foolishness. Because they couldn't believe in a bodily resurrection. They just had no part of that. And they didn't see in Jesus Christ the strength of their mythological gods, because to the Greeks, death meant defeat. Death certainly didn't mean victory. So this is what the kind of climate that Paul was preaching in, and yet he continuously insists that the God of Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and the Messiah is the salvation, the Savior, and salvation is through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ is salvation possible for man.
Yeah, and it says a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. The message of the cross is foolishness to those that don't believe. So it takes faith in believing in this. How can someone say to love somebody that's hurting them? And that's basically what the cross is about. Jesus died while we were still sinners, while we were hurting him and one another. He died and took that sin upon himself so that we could be set free and brought back to the Father in heaven. Do we really believe that? Faith is the thing that helps us so much. The Catechism, section 272, says, faith in God, the Father Almighty, can be put to the test by the experience of evil and suffering. God can sometimes seem to be absent and incapable of stopping evil, but in the most mysterious way, God the Father has revealed his almighty power in the voluntary humiliation and resurrection of his Son, by which he conquered evil. Christ crucified is thus the power of God in the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It is in Christ's resurrection and exaltation that the Father has shown forth the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. So it's back to when we show our faith by what we believe, by dying to self, by loving others, you know, and obeying those commandments, as we had in the first reading, the Ten Commandments, obeying those commandments and basically fulfilled in Jesus to love God and love one another as he has loved us. But this, to those who don't believe, this is foolishness.
That's really powerful, Marie, because that's really what Paul is really bringing home through this whole message. And as you pointed out about today, the good news of Jesus Christ still sounds foolish to very many people. Today our society worships influence, they worship wealth, and they worship power, they even worship health. This is very, very high on the food chain. And yet Jesus comes as a humble servant. And he comes a humble, poor servant. And the kingdom to him is those with faith, not with talent, money, or power. To the world, this message looks backwards. It actually looks like the world is going backwards. And yet, this is the way that Jesus provided for us to do it. Paul, again, we hear over and over, Paul preaches about the crucified Christ. That's the only way through salvation. There is no Easter without Calvary. There is no glory without the trial of the suffering.
And we preach the crucified Christ by living a life that is for others. We preach it by the way we live. Not doesn't necessarily have to be our words. It's word and deed. So we preach it by the way we live in living for others. And we have the personal question here, and it says, how do you proclaim Christ crucified to your family, friends, co-workers, and our schoolmates? And for me personally, by dying to myself for the good of my family, and by overlooking faults. You know, God's word says overlook faults. We admonish sin, but we overlook faults. We only admonish sin in those who are Christians, not unbelievers. So I proclaim Christ crucified by not getting uptight over things that others do and by forgiving. I proclaim it by constantly forgiving those that hurt me.
That's powerful, me, Marie. Myself, I had by my actions to where they are, by my actions toward those in my family and my friends. They need to see Christ in me as well as hear in my words about him. And I do that by showing that I defer to others before I defer to myself. I seek out to give strength to the poorest of the poor. I'm strongest when I'm helping the weakest. And that's when I can proclaim Jesus Christ in season and out of season, as long as my actions are in tune with the message.
And could there be a stumbling block for you or others in proclaiming Christ crucified? And I said definitely yes. And the only stumbling block that could be for that is selfishness, because that's the opposite of love.
I too, Marie, because pride, with pride comes disgrace, and with humility comes the wisdom And I pray that every time that I'm opening my mouth, it's with the mouth of someone who is humble to realize God is God.